Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-decision episode of SCOTUScast, the Sixth Amendment and Confession of Guilt edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On May 14, 2018, the Supreme Court decided McCoy v. Louisiana, a case considering whether defense counsel may, against the defendant's express wishes, concede his client's guilt in an effort to avoid the death penalty. In 2008, Robert McCoy was indicted on 3 counts of first-degree murder for the deaths of the mother, stepfather, and son of his estranged wife. McCoy pleaded not guilty, maintaining that he was out of state at the time of the murder. In 2010, his relationship with the court-appointed public defender broke down, and in March 2010, Larry English became McCoy's defense attorney. English concluded that the evidence against McCoy was overwhelming and told McCoy that he would concede McCoy's guilt in an effort to avoid the death penalty. McCoy adamantly opposed English's strategy. At trial, English nevertheless indicated repeatedly to the jury that McCoy had caused the victim's death and pleaded for mercy. McCoy protested unsuccessfully to the trial judge and was permitted to testify to his innocence, but was ultimately convicted and sentenced to death. The Louisiana Supreme Court affirmed the trial court's ruling that defense counsel had authority to concede guilt over McCoy's objection as a strategy to avoid a death sentence. In light of a division of opinion among state courts of last resort on whether it is unconstitutional to allow defense counsel to concede guilt over the defendant's intransigent and unambiguous objection, the U.S. Supreme Court granted certiorari. By a vote of 6-3, the U.S. Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the Louisiana Supreme Court and remanded the case for a new trial. In an opinion delivered by Justice Ginsburg, the court held that the Sixth Amendment guarantees a defendant the right to choose the fundamental objective of his defense and insists that counsel refrain from admitting guilt, even when counsel's experience-based view is that confessing guilt offers the defendant the best chance to avoid the death penalty. Justice Ginsburg delivered the opinion of the court, which was joined by the Chief Justice and Justice Kennedy, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. Justice Alito filed a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Thomas and Gorsuch. And now, to discuss the case, we have Jay Schweikert, policy analyst with the Cato Institute's Project on Criminal Justice.
This was an appeal from a decision of the Louisiana Supreme Court, which upheld a death sentence for the defendant here, Robert McCoy, who had been convicted of 3 murders. And the basic legal question that the court was deciding is whether it's unconstitutional for defense counsel to admit a defendant's guilt to the jury over the defendant's express objection. So to give a little background here, so Robert McCoy was arrested for the murder of 3 victims who were the mother, stepfather, and son of his estranged wife. He maintained his innocence throughout every stage of the pretrial proceedings, insisting that he was actually out of the state at the time of the killings. He had an alibi defense that, in, you know, maybe was not that strong, but that he genuinely believed that he was innocent of the crimes. He so consistently maintained his innocence, believed actually that the victims had been killed by corrupt police officers who were conspiring against him, filed several pro se requests for subpoenas for witnesses who would have had knowledge of his alibi defense. He was initially assigned 2 public defenders, but dismissed them because they had different theories of this case. And then at one point he requested that he be allowed to represent himself. The court found him mentally competent to do so. But then his family engaged another attorney, Larry English, to represent him. English, like the previous public defenders, was skeptical of this alibi defense that McCoy was asserting and refused to issue subpoenas to go along with it. So there was a little bit of tension between McCoy and his attorney from the beginning. But then, and this is really the key difference here, 16 days before trial, Mr. English told McCoy for the first time that he was planning to tell the jury that McCoy was guilty of murder, that he had killed the victims. The idea is that this was a capital case. The state was seeking the death penalty. And Mr. English thought that the evidence against McCoy was just so overwhelming that they had no hope of him being acquitted. The best they could do was to sort of curry favor with the jury by admitting guilt and taking responsibility with the hope of avoiding the death penalty at the sentencing stage, which is sometimes a reasonable tactic in death penalty cases. that's not a crazy thing to do. But McCoy adamantly opposed this and told English, absolutely not, I am innocent, do not tell the jury that I'm guilty. And then at a pretrial conference a few days later, which was the first time that McCoy had a chance to raise this issue with the judge, he said exactly that. He said, look, this guy's going to sell me out and tell them that I'm guilty. He's not my lawyer anymore. I don't want him to do this. You know, I want a new lawyer, or if not that, then I want to represent myself. And the court denied those requests, you know, said that, you know, no, Mr. English is your lawyer, we're going forward, and essentially instructed Mr. English to follow the strategy that he thought was best. And so then at trial, Mr. English told the jury in opening argument, you know, he did it. I'm telling you that he is responsible for these murders, and went forward with the strategy of, you know, admit responsibility but mitigate the severity to avoid the death penalty. Mr. McCoy interrupted his own lawyer, arguing with him basically in front of the jury, took the stand in his own defense to present his alibi testimony, was then cross-examined by his own attorney. So there was a conflict between the defendant and his own attorney at trial in front of the jury. Unsurprisingly, the jury returned a guilty verdict and found him, you know, guilty of all three murders and sentenced him to death. So the strategy failed. And so the question that went up before the Louisiana Supreme Court and then ultimately to the U.S. Supreme Court was whether this was constitutional, specifically whether it was constitutional for McCoy's attorney to admit his guilt over McCoy's objection. Just to give a little bit of kind of background legal framework to understand the issue here, a couple principles. One, defendants absolutely have the right to represent themselves if they choose to do so. Once defendants decide to be represented by counsel, the attorney has the authority to make most tactical trial decisions. These are things like which witnesses to call, what questions to ask, you know, what to say in arguments, what evidence to introduce or whether to object to evidence. These are all kind of within the province of the attorney's discretion. There are certain fundamental decisions that the court has said defendants ultimately have final say on, even when they're represented by counsel. And the ones that they've given, the court has given as examples, is whether to enter a guilty plea, whether to waive the right to a jury trial, whether to testify at trial and what to say, and whether to take an appeal. And so in some sense, the question here is whether admitting guilt before a jury is sort of merely a tactical, strategic question for the attorney, or whether it's one of these fundamental decisions that the defendant has the sole prerogative over. And then finally, as in terms of just the legal background, there's a 2004 case called Florida v. Nixon, which was sort of superficially similar in some respects. It was a murder trial. The defendant's attorney thought that there was overwhelming evidence and the best chance to avoid the death penalty was to admit guilt. He consulted with his client on this, saying that he thought they should do this. But there, in Nixon, unlike in this case, the defendant was unresponsive. He didn't consent or object to it. He basically just wasn't any help to his attorney. And so without guidance from his client, his attorney went forward at trial and presented this strategy and admitted, you know, responsibility for the murders to try to avoid the death penalty. And then afterwards, Nixon objected to this admission. What the Supreme Court said in that case is you don't have to get express consent to admit guilt. They specifically did not answer the question of whether you can overrule a defendant's clear objection. So that was the question in this case, where the defendant expressly objects in advance to this admission, does the attorney have to follow with that? So McCoy's basic position here was this is about defendant autonomy. He has a right to a personal defense, that the Sixth Amendment, you know, guarantees his right to make fundamental decisions, whereas the state, you know, wanted to characterize this as basically this is just a strategic trial question, and so his conviction should be upheld. And the court ruled 6-3 in favor of McCoy. They agreed that this was unconstitutional. They vacated the convictions and ordered a new trial for Mr. McCoy. The majority opinion was written by Justice Ginsburg, and it basically adopts exactly the framework that Mr. McCoy and the Cato Institute and our amicus brief were urging on appeal. Basically, that this is not a question about effective assistance of counsel. This has nothing to do with how reasonably his attorney performed. This is a question of defendant autonomy. And so the court, you know, acknowledged that division I mentioned about tactical questions and fundamental decisions, and then they said, and I'm quoting here from the opinion, autonomy to decide that the objective of the defense is to assert innocence belongs in this latter category, that category meaning the fundamental decisions reserved for the client. And Justice Ginsburg went on to say, these are not strategic choices about how best to achieve a client's objectives. They are choices about what the client's objectives in fact are. This was a theme that came up a lot at oral argument that the court really emphasized in its opinion, which is that different clients will have different objectives in a criminal case. Mr. English's sort of overriding goal here was to do anything possible to defeat the death penalty. That's sort of the attitude he was taking. You know, what can I do to avoid a death sentence? Well, the best strategy is to admit guilt. But that's a value judgment, is the way the court is characterizing this, and that Mr. McCoy argued on appeal. You know, that may not be his most important goal. Some defendants may care more about, you know, defending their innocence and sort of avoiding the, quoting again from the opinion, quote, counsel may reasonably assess a concession of guilt as best suited to avoiding the death penalty, as English did in this case. But the client may not share that objective. He may wish to avoid, above all else, the opprobrium that comes with admitting he killed family members, or he may hold life in prison not worth living and prefer to risk death for any hope, however small, of exoneration. So this is a decision that is very protective of defendant autonomy and the defendant's right to decide what the objectives of their criminal defense are. The lawyer can consult with them, obviously, and can advise them of what they think is the best strategy, but ultimately, the fundamental question about whether to admit guilt or not belongs with the defendant. And the court distinguished Florida v. Nixon on the obvious ground that, you know, there the defendant didn't make a choice either way, and so the attorney had to go forward with something, and that was a reasonable decision, whereas here there was a clear overruling of the client's objectives, which is what made the difference. And then another part of what the court said is that Mr. McCoy automatically gets a new trial because this is so-called structural error. So one major question in terms of a lot of constitutional cases and criminal cases is, if there's a constitutional violation, under what circumstances is that significant enough to get a new trial? For certain kinds of errors, like, say, whether the state sufficiently turned over evidence they required to give, there's an error analysis where if the state can show that it wouldn't have made a difference either way, then the defendant doesn't get a new trial. But here, the court identified this as structural error, and that's the kind of error where if there's a violation, you get a new trial, period, the end. There's no error analysis whatsoever. Because the question is not whether, you know, this increased the chances of an erroneous conviction, but it's basically saying Mr. McCoy had an autonomy right. And I'll quote from the opinion, here, however, the violation of McCoy's protected autonomy right was complete when the court allowed counsel to usurp control of an issue within McCoy's sole prerogative. So they're identifying these kind of Sixth Amendment secured autonomy rights as inherently structural error rights that warrant automatic reversal. So this is a 6-3 decision. There was a dissent by Justice Alito, which was joined by Justices Thomas and Gorsuch. It's actually a relatively narrow dissent. It's not so much disagreeing with the majority's fundamental analysis of this autonomy question, and more saying that this case wasn't a great vehicle for making this kind of grand pronouncement. Justice Alito spends a lot of time talking about how rare this kind of case is, that, you know, it's almost, those usually will only come up in capital cases because that's really the only context where it might make strategic sense to admit guilt, and that usually defendants and their attorneys will be able to work this out in advance. And so there's a little bit of a, why are you making such a big deal out of this? Maybe we shouldn't have even taken this case to the dissent. Doctrinally, the distinction that the dissent is drawing here is, it's basically saying that Mr. English is saying, well, the actus reus, the actual act of killing these people was met, but Mr. McCoy didn't have the mental state, the intent necessary to commit first-degree murder, so he's not guilty of that offense. And so to Justice Alito, this was an important difference because he didn't think that Mr. English was admitting guilt entirely. Rather, he characterized him as just admitting an element of the crime. And therefore, you know, the court shouldn't have made this grand pronouncement about admitting guilt when that's not really what happened in this case. Now, the majority does have a response to that, which is that even if Mr. English wasn't admitting guilt to first-degree murder, he clearly was admitting guilt to second-degree murder, which was a lesser-included offense in this murder charge. So, you know, Mr. English was not saying my client didn't have the mental state, so you have to acquit. You know, he was still saying that he should be convicted and spend the rest of his life in prison. He just thought he should be convicted of second-degree murder as opposed to first-degree murder. So that line is the major distinction between the majority and the dissent's opinion here. And then the dissent also criticized the majority for deciding the structural error question. Justice Alito would have not decided that here and would have left that to the Louisiana Supreme Court to decide in the first instance, whereas the majority thought that it was acceptable to decide all of that right now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. SCOTUS Cast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUS Cast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.